having the meetings scheduled out in advance are so important and what allows me to have one of the highest meeting counts in my current employer at Zoom. So for the proof of concept stage, having the user training scheduled, having a check-in call once a week, having a closing call once the trial is concluded, all of that scheduled up front is going to make life so much easier for you as well as your customer, because customers are managing a variety of other things in their professional lives and their personal lives that you're not the number one maybe priority to them. So keeping yourself top of mind and helping them understand continually why we're driving value to their organizations.
Hi, this is Zia here. Welcome to another season of Selling to Enterprises. My guest today is Michael Wagner, the number one account executive at Zoom, who finished the year at an incredible 401% of his quota. Today, Michael shares the secrets behind his exceptional performance with us. So without further ado, let's get started. Awesome, Michael. It's such a pleasure to have you on the pod today. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Zia.
Awesome. To get things started, Michael, for the benefit of the listeners, talk to us about your journey so far. Connect the dots for us, please.
Absolutely. So in my personal life, Zia, live in Denver, Colorado. I'm outside of work. I'm proud to be a board member at Make-A-Wish Colorado here in our local area, as well as serve as the founder of the KU Sales Alumni Group, which fosters network opportunities for other Jayhawks with careers in sales. But professionally, you'll find me today at Zoom. So right now I'm a commercial acquisition account executive. So kind of a wordy term, but prior to Zoom, started in software sales 8 years ago at a company called Paycom. They're a HCM, HR payroll software company, where really learned a lot about cold calling, prospecting. They had mandated 8 hours a week to cold call. So really taught me some of the tenacity and discipline that comes with prospecting. So that was an outside sales role. And then now I've been at Zoom for 5 years in this particular role, serving as more of an inside sales role.
Great. So before we come to your current role at Zoom, I was recently reading about how you decided, how you and your wife decided on Make-A-Wish as a charity foundation that you would like to get involved in. Can you talk to us about that? How did you come to that decision, Michael?
Yeah, it was a big passion of mine and both of ours. So Make-A-Wish is an organization that does wonderful things for children with critical illnesses. And whenever they're going through the hardships of their medical situations, it provides them an outlet, Zia, and an outlet where they can serve to have something to look forward to, whether it's meeting a famous athlete or going on a trip to Hawaii. And it's just such a wonderful organization with a great mission. And we're proud to become the board members that we have to give back to this organization in a number of different ways.
That is such a great initiative. Thanks for doing that, Michael. So coming to your current role at Zoom, if you can, you know, double-click on that, talk to us about the kind of customers that, how do you go about it? Is there, right from the lead generation to closing, talk to us about the role itself, Michael.
Happy to. Yeah. So lead generation to closing, you put it best, Zia. So this role is primarily hunting acquisition role, where I prospect into customers, 250 ranging up to 2,500 employee size companies. And my role primarily is to generate that relationship initially and move them throughout the sales process. So from the cold call all the way through to the deal closing, a facet of the role is also upkeeping the account management. We have some install base, but primarily a mix of greenfield accounts. The personas that are included within that are heavily IT professionals, so folks ranging up to CTOs and CIOs, but also have many conversations with chief financial officers, sales executives, and marketing leaders as well. But types of companies I work with, really widespread, but primarily software, finance, legal, and a mix of other industries as well.
So I get a lot of questions, Michael, on the prospecting side of things, right? How do you cold call? How do you get into the customers these days? Because, thanks to COVID, thanks to working from home, it's a lot more difficult to cold call and all that. So let's spend more time on that. What is working for you when you're calling into someone, when you're trying to open new logos? If you don't mind sharing some of your best practices, that would be awesome.
Definitely, Zia. So I would say knowing as much information as you can about that individual as well as the company is so critical to the success of the person that's prospecting in. So some of the common misconceptions about Zoom is that we're just a video conferencing company. So we're faced with the challenge of shaping the image of Zoom across the market. And then for me, it's all about being narrow in my targeted prospecting efforts. So identifying of what's called 500 accounts, what are the top targeted accounts that are going to be the best fit for our technology, and putting 80 to 90% of the effort into prospecting into those accounts. So if I've identified those top 20, top 25 accounts, that's when I really want to get specifically research. What are the investors of that company? Are there any private equity firms that are invested in that company already? Another outlet that I'll turn to is LinkedIn Team Link. So do I have anyone at my current employer, Zoom, that are connected with people at that organization? Another one can be going to LinkedIn and under Sales Navigator, searching executives that have former employment at potentially some of these targeted accounts. And then is there any overlap between customers of Zoom and customers of theirs? A lot of software companies will highlight their own customers on their website. So what I'll do is I'll take that information that's very narrowed and targeted and put that into my emails and cold calling conversations and try to keep it as casual as possible, but allow them to identify that I did my research and I'm reaching out to them for a reason.
And I'm assuming that Zoom being a highly recognizable brand now, is that helping in some way, or you're thinking it's not necessarily?
You know, Zia, I've been at Zoom since 2017, and I almost find today people do know our name in the market, but it's more difficult to prospect and generate conversations with customers outside of just the video conferencing conversation. A lot of people don't really want to look to video conferencing as they already have a product in place and they've identified through COVID what that's going to be. But Zoom, we offer a variety of other products and services, from phone, conference room, webinars, contact center. So allowing them to understand that we're not just a one-trick pony, we offer other services under that UCaaS umbrella.
Got it. And how is the cold calling working for you with people working from home? You're not necessarily able to call their office.
You know, you can definitely start with their office. You're always going to start with the gatekeeper. Being as friendly and conversational with them, the better. Help them understand what you're looking to get from the call. But yeah, I would use as many tools as you can. I mean, some customers and prospects will put their personal cell phone numbers on their LinkedIn. Other tools like Zoom Info are great outlets to find personal contact information. But obviously being professional in those outreaches and those cold calls, to again, going back to the research that you've done on them as individuals, looking through their profile and just identifying if there's anything that you think you could call out or make mention of in those cold calls.
Yeah. And then it's not just the calling part of also, right? I think the kind of messaging that you kind of have when you talk to someone on the phone, you kind of connect it back to the message when you send an email. There has to be consistency across, right?
It's a mix of them all. It's the cold calls, the LinkedIns, the emails. I think they say on average, it takes what, 10 to 15 outreaches for someone to know who you are and know your business. So even if it doesn't work today, understand in 3 to 6 months, if they have a need for your services, they're going to say, oh yeah, I remember Michael with Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they look for you there. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's the best situation to be in. how is LinkedIn messaging working for you, Michael? Is that you use a lot of that too? Or,
you know, I lean more in the phones and the emails. When I go to connect with them, I may reference a phone or an email call that I placed, but I try not to pitch. I try not to just write a sales email in LinkedIn. I don't think that's the right method for that. Just have them understand, oh yeah, that's the Michael that's been emailing me, and putting a face to the name.
And how about texting? Is that something that you leverage at all, or that is too personal?
There's been situations where I have used it, Zia. However, I don't think every account you should be prospecting via text message. But let's say you've had a conversation with someone through another format, whether email or phone, and you happen to communicate with them through their personal cell phone number. it may be appropriate to text them. But just be understanding that if they don't respond or they say, hey, refrain from doing this, respect their wishes.
Got it. So I'm personally a big fan of cold calling. And, you know, a lot of folks these days keep talking about cold calling is dead or something on those lines, right? I don't agree with that. And looks like you also have found a lot of success with that.
I think it's the best medium to communicate with customers. Absolutely. But to your point, Zia, it can be challenging if someone's working from home or their phone number doesn't route to their home office. So you've got to get creative in today's day and age.
If you don't mind, if you're not sharing your secret sauce, any examples of the creativity that you refer to, Michael?
You know, there was one account that in particular, when I communicated with them via email, didn't get any response. Also tried communicating with them via phone, didn't lend any response. Sometimes it may be your domain or they've blocked all communications from your company. So I have one account in particular when I communicated with them through my personal email, just saying, hey, not sure if you caught this friendly reminder. They're like, oh yeah, I never received any of your communications at all. That's thank you for reaching out to me. This is something that I'd like to look more into.
That's a very good idea. I've not thought about that. You're right. I mean, there are many instances where the domains kind of get blacklisted unnecessarily, right?
And all it takes is one person to send a message to IT and your domain is blocked forever. So don't be afraid to get creative. To your point, text messages, sending from a personal email, just try it all.
That's pretty good. Okay, cool. We may come back to this again, Michael, as we go through the conversation. But, you know, so one bit is about getting in touch with people, right? You know, once you have them on the phone or once you have them in a meeting, you know, very important, especially when you are in prospecting or new logo acquisition, is to quickly build rapport and, you know, build some kind of a credibility with your prospects. What's working for you there in terms of laying the foundation for a long-term relationship, Mike?
I would say a number of things, Zia. Being authentic, with the authenticity comes being genuine. And when you're communicating with them for the first time, being genuine when you're asking them, what are your goals and pain points that you're experiencing today? And actively listening to their responses to create follow-up questions and clarifications based on those goals and pain points that they had articulated. But from the beginning, doing your research on those individuals, respecting their time, as well as just showing empathy towards other projects or things that they may have going on in their own personal lives. So I have customers that we've been working together for numerous years. And throughout those conversations, when you're trying to lend to your own agenda, being empathetic to their projects and priorities that they're currently managing is super critical in establishing a long-term relationship.
You manage the sales cycle to an extent, and do you hand it over to someone else from there on, like an outside sales rep?
So it would be our long-term account management team that we would eventually hand over the account to after roughly 3 to 6 months of ensuring that they're onboarded, they're a happy customer, and then they would be transitioned from there.
Got it. So you close the deal, you make sure that everything is set right for 3 to 6 months before you pass it on. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. But there are still some existing accounts where you may still get involved, depending on where they are, I guess.
There are some exceptions to the rule where we get to hold accounts longer than that 3 to 6 month period. And that's where you have these remarkable relationships with these people over the course of time and understand a lot about their personal lives, their hobbies, what motivates them. So I think all of that can be built up front. You just have to be organized and professional in your outreach to them.
Got it. So moving on, I'm always very interested to know, what are your daily habits, right? Because I personally believe that the kind of habits that you have, and how you stick to them consistently will contribute a lot to your success overall. Talk to us about your typical day, if you don't mind.
Be happy to. And that was a difficult shift for me when I moved from an outside sales role to an inside sales role, Zia, and especially during COVID. So when making that shift, just understanding that each day is critical to have the best mindset that I can have, positive mindset, high energy. And for me, it starts every morning with waking up and having a healthy and large breakfast. That's what fuels me. I'm not a coffee drinker. So the breakfast for me is really important to get my day off to a good start. Recently, I've shifted to being a morning workout individual. So I'm a part of the CrossFit gym. So going to the gym in the morning before I actually kickstart my day really helps clear my mind and lay the foundation for what I'm looking to accomplish for the rest of the day. And then lastly, one thing I started throughout COVID was meditation. So meditating using apps like Headspace is what I use for 5 to 10 minutes a day, right before you get started with work, clears your mind. And then from there, I also do a 5-minute journal. So there's a company that actually makes these journals. And every morning you write down 3 things you're grateful for, 3 things that you want to accomplish during the day, and then a daily affirmation statement.
And then you revisit the journal towards the end of the day or before?
Correct. At the end of the day, you write down, believe 2 things that you accomplished and 1 thing you wish that would have gone a little bit differently.
Got it. Very good. And what time do you get up?
For me, it's 5:30 to 6 every morning.
Fantastic. Awesome. Great. And you're saying the meditation app is also helping you. How long have you been using the app?
Since the beginning of COVID. And I can't explain enough how beneficial that's been for my headspace and just my mentality. Absolutely.
That's interesting. So like, you use it like 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. That's all?
Correct. Right in the morning, 5 to 10 minutes before I get started for the day. And then before I go to work, I'm writing down, you know, a to-do list for the day and just understanding what are the tasks that I can accomplish that are going to be revenue generating and prioritizing those first before I get to the other tasks, unless they're urgent tasks that need to be attended to. But then throughout the middle of the day, since I'm working from home all day, eating lunch, taking a step outside of my office, going for a walk with my wife or my dog. And then at the end of the day, checking out of work and really enjoying time with my family.
That's fantastic. I like your routine, and hopefully people will also learn from that. So that's pretty good. What I've also seen, I mean, we have also seen, we all have seen, right, that we probably learn a lot from the deals that we have lost. Right. Are there any deals that you have lost that you stuck to you and any learnings that you can share from that?
This was my favorite question that you submitted to me, Zia, because the learnings from these losses set the foundation for future success and allow for you to reflect as a sales professional on what can you change? What can you improve upon?
Yep.
So what I'd say before I share a couple examples, I always ensure that I'm extremely selective with the customers that I'm working with and try to understand their engagement to determine if I want to work with them. So I don't mean to sound arrogant in that, but if you're doing all the work up front and the customer's not reciprocating that work with you, that should be a red flag. And if possible, always, always lose quickly and move on. That way you can put your attention towards other deals. So a lot of newer reps that come onto Zoom, that's what I try to tell to them. The reps that hold on to this false sense of reality that this deal is going to close in 6 to 12 months. Well, timing kills all deals.
Yeah.
So those examples that I'd like to share, one of them in particular was a recent loss for me. And this was an account that was an existing customer. They were looking to evaluate our telephony Zoom phone service and had a list of cloud initiatives that they were prioritizing throughout the remainder of the year. The project that we were evaluating was not the top of that priority list. And throughout the entire sales process, I had this feeling that that could be the one detriment to this particular project. And as it came to fruition and we got to the end of the sales process and we're looking towards a final set of approvals to move to signature, a certain individual exited the company that set the account into a list of reorganizing their priorities and what they could take on at this particular time. So they decided to stick with their current solution as they didn't have an impending event that was nearing the next 3 to 6 months to be forced to make a decision, like a contract being expired. So back to what I mentioned before, timing kills all deals. Ensuring that you have the right individuals involved in your accounts from the highest level executive involvement is so critical to ensuring the continued success of that account to moving to close.
What would you have done differently in this case, Michael?
For me, it would have been...
How could you have avoided that? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No. Great question. For me, it would have been ensuring that the executive sponsor was involved throughout the sales process. Unfortunately, for this particular project, he had his eyes on another project that had much more visibility throughout the organization. However, if I could have done it differently, I would have continued to keep him updated throughout the project, even if he wasn't to make all of the meetings, as well as pushing urgency to move towards a decision sooner rather than later, as this sales process lasted over 6 months.
And are there any other examples that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, another one that didn't get to the stage that that first example had provided. This was an account that was evaluating a number of cost savings initiatives to looking to reduce some of their G&A expenses. And one of them being their full communication and collaboration platform. And for this particular organization, they were also juggling other projects. So they were looking to upgrade their Microsoft platform to Office 365 and a few other priorities. But this particular individual that I aligned with at this organization was not a person that was able to make a decision happen and wasn't able to involve the executives throughout the buying process. So it got to around a mid-stage sales process, but didn't necessarily align with the best champion and wasn't engaged in the proper fashion with numerous personas that I needed to get engaged with. So if I could have done something differently before engaging into a, you know, fourth, fifth, or sixth step of that sales process, kindly asked for continued involvement and inviting other members of his team that were able to be a part of the decision-making process.
Got it. Great examples. And also, like you said, I think it's been a pretty common thing that I've seen across successful sales guys where they decide on who to work with in the beginning itself, right? They identify the right prospects. Otherwise, it becomes garbage in, garbage out, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing too is ask them if they're sold on leaving their current vendor. This is one of the best things that I learned early on in my sales career. If they never actually consent to that, then they're not sold on switching to your platform. So until they say, I am ready to walk away from WebEx or Microsoft Teams, in my example, really no decision has been made. And you have a lot more business objectives that you need to articulate throughout the sales process.
Are there any other questions like that that you use to qualify?
I would ask them their timing. I would better understand their current contract situation. I would like to understand why they're having the conversation with me and what their pain points are. And if the pain points are really strong enough to make a change, sometimes people just are frustrated with their current role or they want to make a change, but they can't. So I think just understanding that individual's stature within the company, what their pain points are, how this prioritizes compared to other projects, for you to make a good determination if you want to align yourself and other resources into the buying process.
Great points. And looks like most of the time, Michael, you come across situations where you're trying to replace an incumbent instead of starting the education process from scratch, because obviously, thanks to COVID, everyone needs or has been using something like this.
Exactly. Yes. And I think replacing an incumbent is way more difficult than a customer that comes to you and says, I'm here, I'm evaluating my telephony services right now. We're looking at two other vendors and beating those vendors out. I typically don't have any issues in those situations. It's the ones that you sell them on making a change, but then they fall back on their current solution. And in the current economic state right now, a lot of businesses are cutting back on spending, trying not to make as much change. So it's becoming very difficult, especially in the current economic world we're living in.
Awesome. Hey, so other than this particular podcast, Michael, which are your other favorite books or podcasts that you listen to? How do you, kind of get generally keep up or keep in touch?
I think anything that relates to prospecting. One of my favorite books, Zia, is Fanatical Prospecting by Jeb Blunt. I don't know if you've ever checked that out. Really changed my life and the whole perspective on prospecting. And his motto is making one more call at the end of the day. So I think that's really critical to have that mindset and don't don't think that prospecting isn't important. It always is. Yep. He also has a podcast called Sales Gravy. That's just day to day being updated. And that's got new relevant material. For us at Zoom, we're fortunate that we're given LinkedIn learnings. So one of the classes that I took was developing emotional intelligence and just making sure that I'm at the very best in my conversations with my customers. And then we also get access to Masterclass. So just continuing to develop your learnings and always being willing to learn will make you the part of the best of the best.
That's such a great point, right? Always keep learning, keep willing to be learned, right? That's pretty good. Yeah. So we have covered some very good points, Michael. Are there any other learnings or points that you would like to share with the other sales professionals out there?
So in terms of what works best for me, Zia, I would say sticking to the sales process that you or your company has given to you as a proven winning sales process is so important in deals and deal management, because customers are obviously going to have their own decision-making process, but showing them the journey to a partnership for me with Zoom helps customers better see the vision of how they can get to a platform like Zoom. I know I talked earlier about targeting the right accounts, but also focusing your efforts on the right deals rather than the smaller accounts, as they can sometimes be a little bit more needy and have a lot more questions. The larger accounts oftentimes are better run organizations that have better understanding as to what it takes to buy a software or an enterprise platform. For me, also other successes, having 4 to 6 external meetings a day gets me that opportunity to get face-to-face with customers and continue to improve and grow my pipeline, as well as building strong relationships with my customers and prospects through those interactions. And always having a next meeting set is so important to ensuring that you're never stuck in a deal with no next meeting on the schedule.
Tell us a little bit more about that last point. So when you say setting up the next meeting.
So for us, the sales process includes having a discovery meeting, having that discovery lend to more of a solutions demo, and it may incorporate more personas within that organization to see the platform and address their specific problems and challenges, and then lending to a proof of concept or a trial of the technology they're looking to test. Some customers may want to look at conference room capabilities. Others may want to look at telephony services, as we had mentioned before, but having the meetings scheduled out in advance are so important and what allows me to have one of the highest meeting counts in my current employer at Zoom. So for the proof of concept stage, having the user training scheduled, having a check-in call once a week, having a closing call once the trial is concluded, all of that scheduled up front is going to make life so much easier for you as well as your customer, because customers are managing a variety of other things in their professional lives and their personal lives that you're not the number one maybe priority to them. So keeping yourself top of mind and helping them understand continually why we're driving value to their organizations.
Got it. And this obviously relates back to the point that you mentioned about sharing your process, right? Showing them the journey or the path to the partnership with Zoom. So that's a great point. So I have two more questions. Before we close the pod today, Michael, is Zoom hiring currently for any sales roles? If so, what roles? And if someone is interested, how do they reach out?
Actively hiring. And I think that's really important to call out, especially with a lot of companies starting to cut back. Zoom is on a hiring frenzy right now as we have to evolve our technology from Zoom 1.0 to 2.0 and becoming more of a platform rather than just a product. So we're hiring all sales roles, all business development roles, ranging from small business all the way up to enterprise and everything in between. So if you're looking to apply to Zoom, just go to zoom.com/careers or feel free to reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
Michael, thanks again for taking the time. This has been highly useful. And if we have any more points, any more questions, I'll definitely reach out. But thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me, Zia.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please do subscribe to the podcast, and I will greatly appreciate if you can leave a review. If you have any suggestions for future guests or any feedback, please write to me at zia@sellingtoenterprises.com. See you on the next episode. Thank you.